Good morning. All right. So glad that you're here. I trust that you are glad you're here. I know this. You're going to be glad that you came today. So let's go ahead and stand up, could we? And we're going to pray. Let's lift our hands to the Lord. Anybody got anything you need God to do for you? Come on. Anybody got anything you need God to do for you? Amen. Let's lift our hands. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for your love for us. And we're here, Lord. This is the day you've made. We've made it to your house, or we're in our house, but we're seeking you. And God, I just pray that you'd honor that today. I pray that you would just, you already know what we need before we even ask what we ask today. And we ask you, God, show yourself strong on behalf of your people. Heal, help, comfort, answer, provide, lead, protect. Lord, anything that your people have need of, you have promised already. So Lord, I just pray today, show yourself strong. We receive your peace and we receive your joy, and today we gladly receive your word. And so Lord, I thank you that your word is anointed. I ask that you would anoint me and help me to deliver your word in the right way to your people today. And then when everything is said and done today, we want that you, Jesus, the Lord of our life, the head over all things to this church, may you be pleased, may you be honored, and may these your people, every single one of them, be helped today. That's our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen and amen. How about a huge welcome? Wait, 1 second. Today is actually, we're celebrating the second anniversary of our East Campus. So let's give a huge shout out to our East Campus. Also, our online campus. God bless you. Glad you're with us today. You may be seated. You may be seated. We're so glad you're all here, and we're just watching, just by way of information. We're watching more and more people coming back. We're doing our very best job here to keep it safe and comfortable and sanitized and all of those things, and sensitive. A huge effort by our staff and by our teams. And we're watching more and more and more. Matter of fact, last week, second service here at Central, we were about at our max as far as social distancing. So good things. If you still feel you need to be at home, you're more comfortable, or you have some kind of concern, then of course do that. But don't just have it a screen on in the house. Lean in and be a part of what we're doing. It is important, y'all. It is important that we gather together as church in these days. And not just so that you can hear a message and get encouraged, although that's part of it. Not just so, hey, wow, I like that song, or I saw my friend. This is about honoring Jesus. Can I get an amen? Amen. And it's also about pushing back darkness. Can I get an amen on that? And that happens just by virtue of us doing this, and it is so important that we do that. And so again, welcome, and let's make this morning count today. Amen. Well, we're on a series called Anchored, and I'm really talking about hope, and our subtitle is Holding On to Hope. Let me just mention to you, I was going to mention it at the end, but I want to make sure I don't forget. Next week, I'm going to be talking about hope, but I'm going to be talking about our blessed hope. Some of you will know what that is. That's the rapture of the church. And we're going to be talking a little bit about where are we, what's going on in our world, and what does the Bible say about Jesus coming. And so you won't want to miss next week. And then the week after that, I'm going to be talking about future hope. And the reason we can even have any hope today is because of what has already happened and because of what he has promised in the future. Amen. Well, we're using the metaphor of the seas and the storm and an anchor, and how many of you know life can get pretty stormy? I want you to think about it just for a moment. If you're real, if you're a real person, your boat probably gets rocked a little bit every week. Some wind and some waves. I want you to think about it right now for a moment. You just think about you. What are the wind and waves that are kind of rocking you right now? And what we need, and this is what we're going to talk about, is you need an anchor. You need an anchor, and we're going to see more why we need to do that. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 this morning. It says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. So we have hope as an anchor for our soul. What an anchor is to a ship, hope is to your soul. And just by way of review, your soul, everybody say my soul, your soul, that's where you think and that's where you feel and that's where you decide and that's where you process life. And so it's pretty important that your soul is anchored in that way. So let me just put it up in front of you here. Hope is the anchor for your soul. Go ahead and read that with me. Hope is the anchor for your soul. And as we've talked about, when hope is present, when you have hope in your soul, the soul is healthy. It's healthy. And again, how you think, how you feel, how you decide, how you process life, you're going to do that from a much more healthy place if there is hope in your soul. If hope is weak, if hope is missing, it's absent, then your soul is a place where fear and despair and doom and gloom not only come, but they grow. It's a fertile climate for those things to grow. So we want to make sure that we have hope in our soul. Now, if your life is anchored, now, here's our goal, is that your life would be anchored, hope would be that anchor. Jesus is our hope. You understand that. And if you read the rest of that passage in Hebrews chapter 6, Jesus is our forerunner who's gone into what we cannot see. He's gone behind the veil. Forerunner was actually, it actually means a small boat that would meet the big boat in the harbor, and it actually would take and land their anchor for them. Jesus is our forerunner, that next verse says. And so I wish we had some time to go into the depth, literally, of all of that. But if your life, hear me on this, if your life is anchored in anything other than Jesus, if your life is anchored in anything other than Jesus, it will not hold you. It will not keep you. And it's not your looks. It's not your money. It's not your education. It's not your wonderful personality. It's not your job. It is certainly not our government. It's not all these other things. I'm telling you what, your hope, your anchor had better be in Jesus. Can I get an amen out of the church today? You know, we've been talking about hope, and hope really has three legs. It's like a three-legged stool. He did, he does, he will. And when we have what we call biblical hope, biblical hope is what we're after. This is a confident expectation that God is faithful, okay? This means that when you wake up in the morning, you have an awareness God is faithful. Yet your day hadn't even started yet. You don't even know what's ahead for you, but hey, God is faithful. God is faithful. And then things happen, and wind and waves come, and some of them are huge, and then some they're just tricky, and then some there's combinations, and you just remain in that storm, so to speak, in those wind and waves. God is faithful. He did, he does, he will. It's deep-seated. It's settled. It's on the inside that I'm confident in God's character, in God's nature, in God's ability, in God's stability, in God's reliability, and in God's track record. So again, he did, say it with me, he did, he does, and he will. And we need to know that. Now, there's a song, I was thinking about it just this morning. I was actually down here doing some of the preliminary things. I was walking up the stairs and a song came to my mind. It's out right now and it's big in Christian radio, and it's Tarnwell's song, Famous For. Famous For. You need to go listen to it. You can just look it up or wait for it to happen on the radio. Let me give you some of the lyrics here. There is no fear because I believe. There's no doubt because I have seen your faithfulness, my fortress, over and over. I have found hope in your name. I have a strength found in your grace, your faithfulness, my fortress, over and over. Listen to this. Make way through the waters. Walk me through the fire. Do what you are famous for, what you are famous for. Shut the mouths of lions. Bring dry bones to life and do what you are famous for. I believe in you, God. And so when we have this kind of hope, this biblical hope that he did, that's what he's famous for. It's what he's famous for. And you need to rehearse in your own life and look in the lives of others and scour through Scripture and find out what he has done. He will get you through the water. He can shut the mouths of lions. He can rain down bread. He can protect you, can provide for you. He can help you. Are y'all with me today? And so it's what he's famous for. He did, come on, he did, he does, and he will. Amen. And let me just say this, that this is no place to be without hope. This is no place to be without an anchor. This is no place to be without Jesus. So what I want to share with you today is, what do you do when you've lost hope? When you've lost hope. And probably all of us have had seasons or times where if we didn't lose hope, we almost did. And then some of you may be here today and you've had events happen in your life and it's like, I wish I had some hope. And maybe you've regained hope. And I want to talk about, what do you do when you lose hope? If you'll remember, life pretty much goes this way. Life is what you can handle. Think about what you can handle. The things that you're to do some things about. Let me put it in better terms. Life is what you can control, and it's also how you respond to what you cannot control. That's where most people mess it up. Actually, a lot of people don't take good care of what they can control. And then good luck then how you respond to what you cannot control. So ideally what we want to do is do well with the things that we can control and do well, respond well to the things that we cannot control. So I put it this way, it's not what happens to you, it's what you do with what happens to you, okay? It's not what happens to you. Well, this happened to me. I understand, sweetheart, but that's happened to other people too. And that's not being callous, that's not being mean, that's not being uncaring. But here's the thing, I watch it, I told you this last week, I watch it all the time, I've watched it for decades now, seriously. That the same thing can happen to two different people. The same thing could happen to two different families. And we have two different outcomes. And what happens is some people go through, there's the operative word, say through. Some people go through a crisis and they end up stronger. And other people go through a crisis and they have a crisis of hope. They have a crisis of faith. I think I know which one you want to be. That we would go through crisis. And can I tell you this? I'm not a doom and gloomer at all. But in this world, we will have some trouble. I'll read some verses in just a few moments. You will have some difficulties. You will have some challenges. You will have some things that are devastating. Seriously. But you've got to get through that storm. You've got to get through the storm and come out stronger. And not let that crisis end up being a crisis of hope and a crisis of faith for you. Amen. Amen. Go back and think about the disciples, the direct followers of Jesus. They were with him. They saw him. Don't you know they just felt something being around Jesus? I mean, they just, seriously, just who he was and what he said and what he did. They saw the miracles. They heard the teachings. They saw the miracles. They saw all of that happen. And then Jesus gets arrested. He gets tried and then he gets crucified. And do you know what the disciples did? They scattered. They hid. They were in despair. They were afraid. They went back to fishing. And then even after word came to them that Jesus had risen from the dead like he said he would, the Bible tells us clearly that some of them doubted it. His closest followers, they doubted it. And then even later in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus appears to them. He's right there. And it says some of them worshiped him, but others doubted. And here's the thing. Some of them had lost their faith. They'd lost their hope. And so remember what hope is. It's a confidence that God is faithful. And so the events that had transpired, the trauma that had transpired, caused them to lose their hope. They lost their confidence that God was faithful. And here's reality. The death of Jesus could have been the end of the movement. But instead, somehow, it ended up being the beginning. It ended up being the beginning of the greatest movement of all time. So while the disciples lost their hope, y'all with me today? While the disciples lost their hope, guess what? They got it back. Then they got it back bigger and better. And because of that, we're even here today because of the hope and the faith that they had, even though they kind of lost it for a while. You've lost it for a while, but let's get it back. Let's get it back, and it needs to be bigger, and it needs to be better than ever. Can I get a good amen out of the church today? Amen, amen. Well, they lost hope, and I got to correct something here, and I'm being very intentional about this. Actually, you don't lose hope. You let it go. Actually, you don't lose hope. You let it go. You feel that it wasn't well placed, when really the idea, the reality behind it would probably be that it wasn't placed well. Did you hear the difference? You feel like, well, I'm losing my hope in God's faithfulness because this and this and this happened. So when you're letting it go, you're letting it go at that point because you feel it's not well placed in Him. And really, it's that perhaps you didn't place it well. So there's a danger. Everybody say danger. Danger. There's a danger in losing your hope, or let me say it right, letting your hope go. The same danger that there would be that you would let your anchor go, that you would lose your anchor. It's so important that we have that and we keep that. That is dangerous, that you would lose your anchor. Also, you don't want to lose your hope as your anchor. Your anchor holds you in place. And so wind and waves, even during the calm, the anchor holds you in place so that you don't drift, so that you don't get dislocated by the events, by the wind and the waves that are all around you. Amen. So when you lose hope, when you lose hope, when you let it go, think about this. I had hope, but now I let it go. So I had hope and I let it go. I lose it. Guess what? Now I'm hopeless. You don't want to go from hopeful to hopeless. Church, y'all here? You don't want to go. You don't want to do that because, listen, once you go to hopeless, here's all the ugly, evil cousins and stepsisters that show up. Fear and despair and gloom and no expectation of good. Once you lose hope, once you let hope go, it's fear, it's gloom, it's despair, no expectation of good. As a matter of fact, it shifts over and now it's an expectation of bad. It's an expectation of more bad. It's an expectation that this won't get better, nothing gets better. And we find ourselves in a bad place, and guess what is? What else? When you let your hope go and you're now hopeless, you don't have confidence in the faithfulness of God. You've got gloom. You've got disappointment. You've got no expectation that things are going to get better. Do you know what you've just done? You've just given license to the devil. You've just given license to the enemy of your soul, which is a massive reason why you must hold on to hope. Because I'm telling you what, the presence of hope within your life and within your soul holds those things at bay. And you don't want to give, you don't want to voluntarily cooperate with your soul, with the enemy, and start to then just expect bad's going to come to my life. Nothing works out for me. This will probably get worse. And you know, that's a dangerous, dangerous place to be. If you're following with me, say amen today. So here's the reality. You might lose, you might let go of your hope. Hope, what is hope again? Is my confidence that God is faithful. You might let go of that, that God is faithful. You know, in the pain and the disappointment and whatever's going on, you might let go of that, that God is faithful. But look at me. But God's still faithful. He never changes. Don't let that change on the inside of you. Well, this is going on, and this is going on, and this is going on. But that does not mean that God is not faithful. I'll put it to you this way. Do not judge the goodness of God. Do not judge the faithfulness of God by the presence of pain and chaos and evil. Don't judge the goodness and the faithfulness of God by that. And so sometimes crisis comes to us, big things, little things, combos, many things, whatever it would be, and we're surprised. Now look at me for a moment. I got to talk real straight with you. You're going to have problems in this life. And sometimes people think, well, I'm a Christian. And? Jesus loves me. Okay. But it's where we are, folks. It's where we are. This is not heaven. Okay, and so while we're here, don't be surprised. Peter had to write to believers and tell them, hey, don't be surprised. Don't think it's strange. Look at this in 1 Peter 4:12 in the Message paraphrase. Friends, Peter said, when life gets really difficult, don't jump to the conclusion that God isn't on the job. So don't be shocked, because that'll throw you off. I gave my life to Jesus. I read the Bible this morning. I had a hard time. Somebody gave me a dirty look. Bless your heart. We've got to realize it kind of goes with the turf. But I'd rather have the hope and the help than to just let that go out of my life. Listen, the devil tries to, listen carefully, the devil tries to set you up to get you upset. See, disappointment is not in what you find. Disappointment is what you expected to find. And so the devil tries to set you up. Well, you shouldn't have any problems if God loved you. This would have worked out long ago if God was able. And you need to shut him up. And never judge God's goodness and God's faithfulness because of the presence of problems and pain and chaos and evil and questions. Amen? Look further in John chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus said, I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me here on earth. Anybody here on earth? Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. And so you keep your hope, you keep that confident expectation that God is faithful. Now listen, the hope, our anchor, doesn't keep you from experiencing the wind and the waves. You know, so just because Jesus is your anchor, hope is your anchor, a boat has an anchor. It doesn't mean that it won't feel the wind and the waves, but storms come and storms go. And what the anchor does, it holds you in place. It keeps you from drifting. It keeps you from getting dislocated. It keeps you from getting just lost off the radar. It holds you in place. So the pain, disappointment, all of those things, not minimizing those things, they're very real. But listen, I think it's pretty bold. I think it's pretty reckless that even though there's problems going on, that you let go of hope. I think it's pretty reckless to let your anchor go. And so I love that metaphor that hope is the anchor for our soul. So if you've lost hope, maybe today you're sitting here and you say, I've lost hope, or I've lost a lot of hope. And let me remind you, you didn't lose it, you're letting it go. But here's the main thing, not to browbeat you with that, but here's the main thing. How do I get it back? How do I get it back? So for the next few moments, there's plenty more on this, but I just want to hit on these few things today. How do I get hope back? Or maybe if you've never had hope anyway, how do you get it in the first place? Ready? You get it the same way you got it to start with. And that is stories and scripture and paying attention in your life, having some gratitude. Let me just ask you, I mean, stir yourself just a minute here. Has God done anything for you since you went to bed last night? Has he done anything for you? Was he faithful at all? Okay, and if you dig deep into Scripture, you're going to find that God is in charge of, he has a covenant, actually, with the sun and the moon. He has a covenant that the sun, did y'all notice by chance, it was dark when I got here this morning, but did y'all notice, did the sun come up today? Okay, there's a huge sign for you, a burning huge sign in the sky. And I guess God's still on the job. Okay? And he's faithful. He's faithful. You woke up this morning. I see everybody's dressed. I hope you had something to eat, or you'll get something to eat soon. I mean, so many things that God has been faithful to us. Pay attention in life, and you'll realize very shortly that God is faithful and God is good, that he did and he does and he will. So real quick, let's look at these. How do I get my hope back? Right here, shift your focus. Shift your focus. Refocus. What we do is we get too focused on what went wrong. We get too focused on the pain, the problem, the need, the crisis, the questions that we have. We get too focused on that, and you're going to have to shift your focus. Now, I'm not about denial. It's not, well, I'm just going to act like that didn't happen. No, it did happen, and it hurt, and that made a mess, and I'm not sure what to do, but my hope is in God. So shift your focus off of just what happened or is happening. Look at this in Lamentations 3, and look at this right here. Lamentations 3, 19 through 25. Lamentations 3, 19 through 25. Everybody say that with me. Lamentations 3, 19 through 25. You need to read that, and you need to reread it, and you need to reread it, okay? We're going to read it one time right now, and we're going to read it in the Message paraphrase. Watch this. I'll never forget, this is what he said, I'll never forget the trouble, the utter lostness, the taste of ashes, the poison I've swallowed. I remember it all. Oh, how well I remember. Go ahead. The feeling of hitting the bottom. So he's remembering, and you're always going to remember. I mean, come on, you're going to remember what's happened. But there's one other thing that I remember. So what is he doing now? He's shifting his focus. There's one other thing I remember. And remembering, I keep a grip on hope. I don't let it go because I remember this. Oh, I remember that. But there's one other thing I remember, and it helps me to keep a grip on hope. Go ahead. God's loyal love couldn't have run out. His merciful love couldn't have dried up. They're created new every morning. Go ahead. How great your faithfulness. I'm sticking with God. I say it over and over. I'm sticking with God. He's all I've got left. Go ahead. God proves to be good to the man who passionately waits, to the woman who diligently seeks. And I said, God proves to be good. Psalm 145 verse 9 actually says this. The Lord is good to all. The Lord is good to all. But I find something here. Look in verse 25 in the New International Version. The Lord is good to those who hope, whose hope is in him, to the ones who seek him. So the Lord is good to all, but I think it is just more obvious. It is more loud and clear to the person who puts their hope in him. So you'll remember, but don't make that your focus. Shift your focus, refocus. Next would be this, watch your words. Watch your words. Say it with me. Watch your words. And again, what are we talking about here? How do I get hope back? How do I get hope back? You're going to need to watch your words. And I refer you to last week's message, okay? Last week's message, part 4, Hope Speaks. You need to realize that you can build or kill your hope with your words, with your mouth. I was going to put it this way. Watch your mouth. Did your mom ever tell you, watch your mouth? You ever had soap put in your mouth? Do you know my mom? All right. So watch your words. Watch your words. You know, sometimes we feel down or sometimes we feel let down. And here's what we do. We let it rip. And words are too powerful. Words are too powerful to just let it rip in any situation. And listen, husbands and wives, you get into a little tiff, don't just let it rip. Well, I'm upset. I feel like saying that. You know, that's like getting a chainsaw and just swinging around the house and the children and the garden and everything else. You can't let it rip. Hear me. You cannot just let it rip. Words are too powerful. You're going to leave a mess. You're going to leave time bombs everywhere when you do that. Everybody's quiet and they're just looking straight ahead. So again, let's go back to our three-legged stool here. He did, he does, he will. So watch your words. These should be some of your words. So, you know, you open that thing in the mail, you get that email, you get that phone call, somebody tells you something, you find out something, whatever it would be. Okay, he did, he does, he will. But if you don't watch your words, you're going to say, well, I don't know if he did or not. I don't know if all that's true about shutting the mouths of lions and all that stuff. I don't know if he did. Maybe he did. Okay, don't do that. Don't do that. Well, he does. Well, he might. He might, but he doesn't for me. So watch your words. Well, he will. Well, I don't know if he will. I don't know if he still can. I don't even know if he's still around. And if he does, he wouldn't do that for me. You need to watch your words. Because sometimes we feel justified when we feel let down or we feel down. Like I said, to just let it rip and just let these words just come out. I've got to vent. Well, you better be careful what you're venting. Because it's also a sign of what would be in your heart. And we want to be careful to watch our words. Amen. You need to speak to yourself. Speak to yourself like you'd speak to a friend that you really cared about. And encourage and counsel and even correct if you need to. Talk to yourself in that way. You know, sometimes you say, you know what? I'm not going to say that anymore. I'm not going to think that. I'm not going to act that way. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to watch my mouth. And he did, he does, and he will. Amen. Next is this. I just got two more for you. Put your hope in God. Come on, everybody say it. Put your hope in God. Get it. Place it like you would an anchor. Psalm 42, verse 5 says, why am I discouraged? Look at this. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? Have you ever felt that? Here's what he said. I will put my hope in God. So it's like, get a hold of it again and plant that anchor again. I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. And then one last thing today, keep perspective. Come on, everybody say it. Keep perspective. Matthew Henry, he was back in the 1600s, early 1700s, wrote an incredible commentary that is still used today. He was a minister and author, and he got robbed one night. And this is what he wrote in his journal after he got robbed. This is perspective. He said, let me be thankful first because he never robbed me before. Second, because although he took my purse, he did not take my life. Third, because although he took all I possessed, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed. So perspective, there's a good perspective we can have on virtually anything. And when things happen to us, be careful of the woe is me. Instead of woe is me, how about great is God? Okay? Keep that right perspective. And keep perspective, and here's really what I want to lean into in this last moment here. There's a bigger picture. There's a bigger picture. Come on, how many of you have had disappointment, pain, chaos, concerns, whatever? All right, listen to me. And you have wind, how many of you have some wind and waves right now that kind of concern you and trouble you, okay? I mean, look on a national level, look on a local level, look at macro, micro, look at your address, look in your body, all these things that we have concerns about. Understand there is a bigger picture. There is a bigger picture. And 2 weeks from today, I'm going to be talking about future hope. We're going to talk more about what the big picture is. Because everything that's happening right now, listen, it's part of the story. Everything that's happening right now is part of this chapter. Everything that's happening right now, that's just one frame in the whole motion picture, okay? That's what's happening right now. There's a bigger picture. Come on, say it again. There's a bigger picture. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And let me just say this again. Do not judge God, his goodness, his faithfulness, because there's a presence of problems and evil and chaos and don't judge God on that. Watch this. There's a bigger picture. There's a bigger picture. Paul says, so we're not giving up. We're not letting hope go. How could we? Even though on the outside, it often looks like things are falling apart on us. On the inside, where God is making new life, go ahead, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. These hard times are small potatoes. I love that. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us. There's far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today, gone tomorrow. Temporary. Everybody say it. Temporary. It's temporary. But the things we can't see now will last forever. There's a bigger picture. Let me close with this. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, "For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purposes." Do you know what my takeaway is on that? God is good, God does good, and God works all things together for our good. Philippians 1:6 says this, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in me is faithful to complete it in Christ Jesus." You want my takeaway on this? Listen to me. God never ends on a negative. So if it's still negative, God's not done. Do you hear me? God never ends on a negative. So if it's still negative, God's not done. Don't let go of your hope. Don't cut the rope on the anchor. Let God work. You know, there was a Friday that Jesus, the Savior of the world, hung on a cross. And on that day, all hope was gone. Looked like, how does this work? It's over. But 3 days later on that Sunday, God, by his power, raised Jesus from the dead. And then there was an empty tomb. And hear this, and I close with this. The empty tomb tells us, the empty tomb reminds us that the worst thing is never the last thing. The worst thing is never the last thing. Keep your hope in God. If you've lost your hope, get your hope back and don't let it go. Even though there's wind and waves, I'm telling you what, there's more to come. There's a bigger picture. God's got you and God's got all of this. Amen. Did y'all get anything at all out of this today? I pray so. I hope so.